The following program is presented by the friends and partners of John Carmichael Ministries. Find out more online at www.johncarmichael.net. Today on Kingdom Now with John Carmichael, discover how amazing your life can be and experience the kingdom power that only comes from God. Today on Kingdom Now.
This is my Bible. I believe it's true. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. And I can do what it says I can do. I receive the Word of God with faith. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, God bless you, and you may be seated. Hallelujah. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And today I want to bring to you part 7 of our sermon series called Immersed in the Blessing. Now, I will say this, to get the most out of today, you really need to go back and listen to some of the other messages we talked about, why the blessing of God was important to even look at in any depth. We looked at the fact that the first thing that God did to humans, the first thing that happened between God and humans was the Bible said God blessed them. And now Adam and Eve were able to do the things they needed to do. Then you look at Noah. You go all the way over into Noah. And you find that Noah, when he was in the ark and he stepped out of the ark and all he saw was disaster and horrible things. The first thing God did for Noah when he came out of the ark is the Bible said God blessed Noah. Then you skip and you go all the way and you see the blessing go all the way through the Old Testament. And Jesus shows up on the scene. Now, his first sermon in Matthew 5, 6, and 7, called the Sermon on the Mount, the first thing he talks about is the blessing. And he begins to say, blessed is this person, blessed is that person, blessed is that person, the blessing. And then Paul goes on, and in Galatians chapter 3, verses 13 through 14, he talks about us being redeemed from the curse so that, somebody say, so that the blessing that was on Abraham would come upon us. And what you see is you see the thread of the subject of the blessing of the Lord go all the way from the beginning in Genesis all the way into Revelation chapter 22. You see the blessing of God. So we've been looking at what is it, how to walk in it, and today we're going to go a little bit deeper into that. So you've turned to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, and we're going to read together verses 6 through 11. Now I want to say this to you. This is going to be a controversial message to some, because today I want to talk about how the blessing of God can affect your finances, how it can affect your material needs. Now, I know some people get really upset at that. They get bent out of shape. And I will admit, there are some people that, in my humble opinion, I think have maybe taken this doctrine and done some things with it they ought not to have done. And I acknowledge that. However, just because somebody messed some things up doesn't mean we throw the baby out with the bathwater. Can I hear an amen? Just because some people have done some things with this doctrine doesn't mean that there's not truth to it. Because the fact of the matter is, there is truth that God wants you blessed. Can I hear an amen? Someone accused me once. They said, I guess you preach a prosperity gospel. Well, you know, to this day, I don't really know what someone means when they say a prosperity gospel. But if you mean to accuse me of saying, do I believe that one of the blessings of giving my life to Christ and walking in obedience to Him is that He's going to bless me and He's going to bless my finances? If that's what you're accusing me of, that God wants to bless my finances, I'm guilty. I said I'm guilty as charged. Because I do believe that one of the blessings that we receive when we walk in obedience to God is that God wants to prosper us. Now, I don't want you to believe that because I believe it. I want you to look at the Word of God with me today. Now, we're going to go over a lot of scriptures. And I want you to see what the Bible says about it. And I'm going to say this to you. It might challenge maybe your long-held belief, or maybe you've got some problem with giving and receiving, and you've got this issue with prosperity. Lay your issues down for a moment. Let's look into the Word of God, and if the Word of God says it, can we agree to let it be final authority in our life? Amen? Can we agree with that? So I want you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 11. Paul is writing here. He says, "Now this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully." Let me give you some context. The context of this is that in chapters 8 and chapter 9, Apostle Paul is raising money from the Corinthian church that he's going to take and use that to help the Jerusalem church. There were some issues going on. So he was raising finances for a purpose. And he was asking the Corinthian church to give and to sow. So he spends two entire chapters addressing this issue about their offering and what they're going to give. So the context here is about money. Them sowing finances for the kingdom of God. And that's important for us to look at this. What is he talking about? What's this sowing and reaping? Is this spiritual stuff? No. In this case, it is finances and it's money. So here's what he says. Verse 7. "So each one must do as he's purposed in his heart, not grudgingly nor under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver." What a statement. What a statement. And in a lot of ways, that would be considered controversial. Someone says, "Oh man, you're manipulating people, telling people that God loves them when they give and guilt tripping them that they need to give cheerfully. Paul, what are you doing?" Well, let me say this to you. Although we recognize that Apostle Paul was the one who penned this, we know who the real author is, the Holy Spirit. "For all Scripture is inspired of God." Can I hear an amen? This is not just Apostle Paul writing a letter to the church of Corinth, but rather this is the Holy Spirit speaking to you and to me. Can I hear an amen? I want to say that again. This is the Holy Spirit of God speaking to you right now. He says, "God loves a cheerful giver." Now look at what happens in verse 8. It says, "And God is able to make all grace abound toward you." Now, what does that mean? What is he talking about? Grace. See, if you're under the traditional teaching of grace, maybe you've seen the acronym GRACE, G-R-A-C-E, God's riches at Christ's expense. Or maybe you've understood grace as being God's unmerited favor. None of that's wrong necessarily. It's not incorrect. It's just really incomplete. Because none of those definitions actually fit with how grace is being used here. In fact, I want you to know that grace here is being used not in some idea of you purchase or having your sins forgiven, because he's talking about giving and then you having grace. Like you can buy forgiveness of your sins. See, it doesn't work. Grace rather has another meaning. It means God's empowerment on your life. It means God releasing that thing on you that's going to cause something to work. Another way of saying grace from the New Testament is in the Old Testament, you'll see the word blessing. That all God's blessing would be upon you. So that you would be able, look at what it says, so that always having all sufficiency. Somebody say sufficiency. So now this grace that is somehow connected to their giving. So their giving causes this empowerment to come, and as it relates to their giving, this grace is now going to grow. It's going to abound. It's going to change levels as it relates to their giving. That's what we're digging into the Word for a moment. I know it's Sunday. I know it's Sunday afternoon, 12:11, and we got to think a little bit. But I want you to see what's going on in this verse. Grace, God's empowerment, is now growing, getting bigger, and it's connected to their giving. Someone said, do you believe that giving and sowing finances actually causes God to bless people? And in fact, yeah, I do. Why do you believe that? Well, because of this verse and so many others that I'm going to show you today, that we see that there's a connection between my giving and how much grace is abounding toward me. But notice what this grace will do. It doesn't just connect me to God. Oh, that's one of the blessings for sure. But that's not the blessing he uses here. One of the things that grace is going to cause to happen in your life, church, I want you to hear me, is that it's going to cause you to get into a state that you will always have all sufficiency in everything. Somebody say everything. What does everything mean? It means everything. It means everything that's going on in your life. God will cause you to get to a point to where you have sufficiency in all those things. To where you're not living in lack. You're not living not having enough. You're not living in a place to where you're broke and nothing's working for you. Grace, hear me, church. Grace can cause you to get to the point to where even in any situation, you always have what you need. How many of you are seeing this in your Bible? And in the context of giving, looking at it, any right Bible teacher, and I say this with humility, I love people who disagree with me. They can still be my friends. I've got people that I know love the Lord and they don't agree, but I'm telling you right now, with all due respect, they're wrong. They're wrong in the sense that there's no other way to look at this verse, not to be a serious Bible student, not to be a person that says, I believe God's word is authority. There's no other way to look at this verse except to say that Paul is telling the Corinthian church that if they will give and if they will sow and if they will get behind this mission, that God is going to release some kind of power that's going to grow upon them and it's going to affect them to the point that they always have what they need. But not only that, it gets better. Look at your neighbor, say it gets better. He says, and you may have an abundance. Now, some people are okay with God given sufficiency, but he took it a step further. He said that you would have abundance for every good deed. That means you're going to have more than enough. That means that not only is God going to meet all your needs for you and your four, your family, all that you need to do, but God's going to say, I want to give you extra. Why? So that you can give and sow for other good deeds. Can I hear an amen? He goes on to say, as it is written, he scattered abroad, he gave to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply, look at this, and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. And you will be enriched in everything for all liberality which through us is producing thanksgiving unto God. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, I thank you today for the anointing on your word. I ask that it would go forth in great power. Holy Spirit, speak to our hearts today. Help us, God. Help us, God, to receive this message from your word in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. One of the things we see as we look at the world's economic system is throughout the world, there is a downturn. It's been there for many years. It probably started just before COVID, but COVID took took us into a place, and we're still seeing it. We've had an unprecedented inflation here in America, and although maybe the inflation rate, the rate that it's climbing, maybe is slowing down, thank the Lord, the fact of the matter is that we're still paying a ton more for things now than we did just a few short years ago. And we've noticed that. But then we've seen wages not rise. Although wages have risen, they've not risen to the level of inflation. So things are costing more. So if you're sitting here today and you feel like that things have been a little bit tougher for you, it's not just you, it's global. It's worldwide. They're looking at credit card usages are now at an all-time high. People are using credit cards more. The balances are going up and up and up because people just simply don't have the finances to be able to do what they need to do. They're saying now that for first-time home buyers, it's harder now to buy a home than it's ever been in the United States of America. Now, I'm not making political statements here. I know some of you want me to assign political responsibility. I'm not making a political statement here. I'm just giving you an economic analysis of it. You can read about it yourself. In fact, there are many people who have a pretty decent track record of predicting what's going on with the economy. And I'm not talking about profits or anything like that, which I believe God uses those. I'm just talking about economists who are looking at things saying, man, 2024 really looks like it's going to be a bubble year, that there's going to be some bubbles popping and it's not good. Bad things happening. You say, Pastor John, that you're painting a pretty negative picture about what's going on financially. Well, the fact of the matter is that we don't need to have our head in the sand and pretend that we don't live in this world, because we do. But while we understand that we live in this world and there's an economy of this world that affects us, the reality is that as Christians, God wants to bless us. Can I hear an amen? And the blessing of God upon our lives can supersede everything. Any situation that we're in. So today I want to talk to you about how God, through his blessing, can sustain you and even cause you to thrive in any situation. And so I want us to look at the Word of God concerning this. Can I hear an amen? But before I really get into a couple of points, I want to talk a little bit about this sufficiency and this thriving. I want you to look in your Bibles at the book of Deuteronomy chapter 29. Deuteronomy 29 verses 5 through 9. Deuteronomy 29 verses 5 through 9. Now, they're talking about the story of how they'd walked in, the children of Israel had walked through the desert for 40 years. And, you think about there was well over a million people. The desert's hard. It wasn't, easy going. They didn't have, Walmarts to go buy clothes and do different things. And look at what God said there. He said, I have led you 40 years in the wilderness. And then he makes this statement, as if this is important. Your clothes have not worn out on you, and your sandal has not worn out on your foot. So here he says, I have led you for 40 years. That's a long time. Now I know some of y'all got blue jeans that are 40 years old. I mean, they don't fit anymore, but you still have them. Well, maybe they might fit, after the fast or something. But 40 years is a long time for a piece of clothing. And you're wearing it. And you're wearing it in a harsh place, and yet you've got this, your clothes, they're not wearing out, they're being sustained. Somebody say sustained. This was said as a miracle. This was supposedly miraculous. Their sandal, walking around in the desert, and the sandal has not worn out on your foot. And every one of those people, when they said this, would have been able to verify whether this was true or not. But do you know that none of those people, do we have any record of them saying, oh, no, that's not true. Oh, you're saying something. No, I had this wear out and that wear out. None of them contradicted it because they all knew it was true. That God had sustained them. Can I hear an amen? I've experienced this level of sustaining. I've seen this church. Now think about this church even recent days when, we went into March of 2020 and, COVID was hitting and You know, instantly, every church, you know, in America lost about a third or so of their congregation. Just boom, gone, and never to return. They say they'll never, those that left will never come back. I don't know if that's true or not, but that's just what they say. So here you get COVID, March 2020. You lose a third of your congregation. But not only that, listen to this. This church owned the building behind the Golden Corral. That building back there that's now turned into some kind of animal center or whatever. We own that building. That was a church for us at one point, and cost us about $6,000 a month or so, roughly. And so, you know, we had that, but we had people leasing the top floor and the bottom floor, so it was kind of making its own payment. But now when March of 2020 hits, you know, it comes here and we lose both of those clients. They close up business. So now we have no money coming in from that building. So all at once, in March of 2020, all at once, what ended up happening, we lose a third of the congregation because of COVID, and then instantly take on an extra $6,000 a month bill. Well, for a church our size, that's pretty tough. If you would have asked me and said, Pastor John, what do you think is going to happen? What if prior, you know, you start hypothetical. What if, let's just say, you know, you have a $6,000 extra month payment, you lose a third of your congregation. What do you think is going to happen? Well, my accountant mind would like to rise up and say, we're going to be in trouble. Because financially, on paper, we would have been in trouble. But for over 3 years, because it took us about that long in order to sell that that building, for over 3 years, God sustained us, and not one time in those 3 years did we ever run a deficit. Somebody give God a great big hand of praise today. God sustained us, made every payment. We weren't late on nothing. God took care of us. Can I hear an amen? It was truly a miraculous sustaining through anything. And you know what? We talk about those missionaries that we're going to bless during that banquet, the mission banquet coming up. You know, we kept blessing them. We never stopped. You know, the accountant sat down and said, hey, do you think you might want to, you know, maybe not be giving so much and not be doing that because we got to watch the finances? I said, no, that giving is what's going to help protect us. That giving is what's going to sustain us. And that's exactly what happened. Now, why did I think that? Because I'm so smart? No, because I have the Bible. Because I know what the Bible says. Can I hear an amen? God knows how to sustain you. Turn over, if you would, to the book of Luke, chapter 22, verse 35. Luke 22, 35. Jesus is going to say some words along these lines. Listen to what he says. Now, very interesting. This verse is a very interesting verse, because it has to be connected with something that Jesus had done prior. Prior, Jesus had sent out the 70. And when he sent out the 70, he told them, I don't want you to take any extra money. I don't want you to take any extra sandals. I don't want you to take anything extra. I don't want you to prepare for it. I just want you to go out in obedience. And it's kind of funny because I've heard a lot of sermons on that part. But I have never heard a sermon on this verse. Now that they did all that, they come to Jesus. They didn't have anything extra. They just stepped out in obedience to God. And now look at what Jesus says. He said, when I sent you out without money belt and bag and sandals, he says, you did not lack anything, did you? And look at their answer. They said, no, nothing. And what had he done? He had shown them that they could trust God so that they didn't live in lack. Oh, they could have answered, oh, no, no, listen, Jesus, we didn't have money. We didn't have enough food at times. We were broke. We didn't have the clothes we needed. Man, we were constantly in a place of lack. No, Jesus said, did you lack anything? Somebody say anything. Now, Jesus didn't waste words here. That meant something. That meant when they said no, nothing, it meant they didn't lack a thing. They weren't hungry, they weren't without clothes, they weren't without what they needed. There was no lack. Somebody say no lack. There was no lack. And Jesus here is saying that when you step out in obedience to me, you don't have to worry about living in lack. Can I hear an amen? Years ago, when I graduated college with my bachelor's degree, I had a problem. God and I had an issue for a while. Because see, I had started college by, you know, I knew God had called me to preach and he had called me to pastor, and I would have assumed that he would have wanted me to go to a Bible college, get a Bible degree. But he sent me to Eastern Kentucky University to get a Bachelor of Business Administration degree it was an accounting degree. And so I'm like, well, why would I do that? And God said, you need to learn how to handle money. That's what he told me. So the reason I went to the school to get this business degree was so that I could pastor. That was the reason. But something happened. I get to the last semester, and now I'm getting job offers coming to me. And I'm getting businesses saying, hey, you know, we want to hire you. And the money, the numbers are looking really good. Because, you know, got a couple of kids. I'm married at the time. And you know, we'd been struggling a little bit. And God had been sustaining us. But now I'm getting offers. Here's some finances. Even one was the CIA came at me. I'd taken a test, and I don't know, I guess I scored a certain way, and they sat down with me, and they said, hey, we like your score here. You fit within what we're looking for. And here's what their selling point was. They said, you can have a calculator in one hand and a gun in the other. I'll never forget it. And for a 20-something-year-old boy, that sounds all right. And God said, I didn't call you to that. Called you to pastor. Well, every pastor I knew was broke. And they were poor. And I told the Lord, I don't want to be broke and poor. I want to go make money. So I started making deals with God. God, if you'll release me from this preaching thing and let me go make some money in the business world, my tithe check will be big. I'll make sure my kids never miss church. I'm making deals with God. Well, he's not dealing back with me. He evidently didn't read Trump's book, The Art of the Deal. He didn't know. He just said, no, I called you. I've called you to preach. Well, I wasn't going to do it. I had about 6 months. I'm like, nope, I'm going to go make me some money. And so I started wrestling with this question. Can you knowingly disobey God and still make it to heaven? And I was asking preachers that. Hey, listen, let me ask you a question. Do you think you can, like, know that God wants you to do something and purposely choose not to do it and still think you're going to heaven? Because I was scared of going to hell. But two, I didn't want to be a pastor. Because all the pastors I knew were broke. They were all poor. Either that or they were hustling people for money. And I didn't want to do any of that stuff. So I come across scriptures like this. No, we did not lack anything. They didn't lack anything. And I said, okay, God. So I finally said, all right, Lord. I'll do what you've called me to do. But you better do what you said. Now, I know some of y'all don't like me praying prayers like that. And that's okay, because I don't like some of y'all's prayers either. So we're even. But I told the Lord, I said, here's what you did to them. They stepped out in obedience to you, and they didn't walk in lack. And I said, God, I don't want to walk in lack either. And I said, the moment I start walking in lack, I'm done. And then I came across another scripture where Jesus said, no one will leave houses and mothers and lands and all this other stuff for my sake and the sake of the gospel and shall not receive in this life 100-fold. He said, with persecutions. I wish you would have left that part out. He said, with persecutions and in the life to come. I said, all right, God, I'm holding you to those. I'm holding you to the fact that you said that if I walk away from all those finances and all that other job offers and all that other way to make money so that I can do what you've called me to do, I am holding you to your word that you are always going to take care of me and bless my finances. And I stand here today, all these years later, to testify God has come through to his word in Jesus' name. Somebody give the Lord a great big hand of praise today. He has taken care of me and my family. I have children who's graduated from very expensive colleges. We was adding up, their scholarships ranged over almost $250,000 in scholarships for all of them, all for the glory of God. And I could just sit and go on and on about how that God has sustained us and blessed us in Jesus' name. No, I'm not driving a Lamborghini yet. But God has blessed us as we stepped out in obedience to the Lord. Amen? So let's talk about that for a moment. Let's talk about the being able to tap into the sustaining and thriving in the blessing of God. Number one, I want you to write this down. It's unstoppable. It's unstoppable. When the blessing of God is on you, first of all, it doesn't matter where you start. When God blessed Abraham, the Bible says God told him, get up from your father's house, leave everything you know, and go to where I've called you. And the Bible indicates that when he left by obedience to God with nothing. He just did what God told him to do. And in chapter 12, God says, I'm going to bless you. But turn over to Genesis chapter 13. Genesis chapter 13, verse 2. It says, now Abram was very rich. Somebody say very rich. He was very rich in livestock and in silver and in gold. The blessing of God came on him in chapter 12 and he had nothing. Now chapter 13, he's become very rich. Someone said, well, that was spiritual. No, livestock, silver, and gold, those are not spiritual things. The blessing of God came on him and the first thing that happened is he started to increase in his wealth. God started to prosper him. He started to rise up. Can I hear an amen? Some of you may say, well, you don't know where I started. Let me tell you something. Abram started with nothing and God blessed him. You may be here with nothing, but as you begin to release your faith for and tap into the presence of God and the blessing of God, God's going to turn that around. Can I hear an amen? Number two, you need to understand it doesn't matter where you are. Well, you don't know where I'm at. How can I prosper here? Well, the Bible says that that blessing was on Abram's life. And Abram was the father of a man by the name of Isaac. So now he has Isaac. And he lays his hand on him. And now Abram got this blessing from God. And he releases this blessing onto Isaac. Now, what happened in Isaac's life? Well, turn to Genesis chapter 26. Genesis 26, now Isaac has the blessing of God on him. And the Bible says in verse 1, there was a famine in the land besides the previous famine that had occurred in the days of Abram. Stop right there. So here we got a land of famine. What does that mean? That means that nobody's getting anything. Everybody's losing everything. That means that things are bad and they're in a bad situation. This is not an environment in which anybody's prospering. However, Isaac has something that nobody else has. Isaac has the blessing of God on his life. So if you skip down into verse 12, it says, now Isaac sowed in that land. What land? In the land of famine? In the land when nobody was making money? Nobody was able to buy a house. Nobody was able to get a job. Nobody could do anything good financially. Everybody was losing all their stuff. But yet Isaac has the blessing and he goes into a place of famine and he starts sowing his seed. He started doing the thing that God had called him to do. And the Bible says that Isaac sowed in that land and reaped in the same year 100-fold. Now, what does 100-fold mean? 100-fold doesn't mean that he got 100 times more seed. It meant he got 100 times more than he would have normally got in a good year. He got 100 times even more than that. He prospered to the point, look at this. It says, the Lord blessed him. And the man became rich. Somebody say rich. So how did he become rich? By the blessing. I said, by the blessing. Why are we on the seventh message about the blessing? Because the blessing of God will change your life. Can I hear an amen? The blessing of God is more than some little nicety or courtesy that someone gives you because you sneezed. Oh, bless you. Oh, bless you. No, the blessing of God came on him. It says, the Lord blessed him at the end of verse 12. Verse 13, and the man became rich and continued to grow richer until he became very wealthy because of the blessing. For he had possessions of flocks and herds and a great household so that the Philistines envied him. He got so blessed that when people saw his enemies, saw the blessing on him, they started becoming envious. And I'm here to prophesy to some folks in this house, get ready, because what God is about to do in your life in 2024 is going to cause some people around you to get a little bit jealous. They're going to get a little bit envious because of what God's done in your life. But can I say something to you about that note? Don't ever get jealous about what God's doing in somebody else's life. Because I'm here to tell you today that what you see God do in somebody else's life, you can rejoice because the same God that did it in them can do it in you in Jesus' name. Come on, somebody. We don't ever have to become envious. Because see, unlike the Old Testament, in the New Testament, it said the blessing of God, Galatians 3:14, that the blessing that was on Abraham will come on all of us. In Christ Jesus. Can I hear an amen? And what did the blessing do here? The blessing called Isaac to be blessed in a horrible situation. But not only does it not matter where you start, it doesn't matter where you are, it also doesn't matter what's against you. Can I hear an amen? Now you have Isaac. Isaac got the blessing from Abraham. Now you got Isaac. Isaac has two sons, and the one son that gets the blessing, is his name is Jacob. So now Jacob has the blessing. But yet we look over in Genesis chapter 31, and you see Jacob's working for a man by the name of Laban. Laban changes his wages 10 times, the Bible says. Changed his wages, and never once was it so that Jacob could be blessed. It was always to adjust the payment so that Jacob would get less and Laban would get more. But see, Jacob had something on him that nobody else had. He had the blessing. Somebody shout the blessing. And the blessing allowed him to, even when he was being cheated by Laban, even when Laban was doing everything he can to push him down, God did not allow Laban to hurt Jacob. In fact, when you go over to verse 9 and you see it says, thus God has taken away your father's livestock and given them to me. How in the world can that happen? The owner of the company keeps changing your wages and changes the way you get paid so that you would get less. But not only are you getting more, you're ending up becoming richer than he is. How is that? By the blessing of God. Can I hear an amen? That even when you got somebody that's trying to push you down and keep you down, when you got the blessing, I'm telling you right now, there's not a demon or devil or person on this earth that can keep down a person who is carrying the very blessing of God on their life. Amen? So what triggered the blessing to work on him? It was giving. Somebody say giving. Now, I'm not saying that giving is the only thing you need to do. No, you need to find out what God's called you to do and do that. Can I hear an amen? I don't think I would have been nearly as blessed and my kids nearly as blessed if I had gone on and went and done some other things besides doing what God called me to do. I have to do what God's called me to do. You need to do what God's called you to do. And guess what? That may involve a four-letter word called work. That means you might have to show up and do something. Amen? I'll tell you anymore, it doesn't take much to advance anymore. Now, all you got to do usually is show up, do your work with a halfway good attitude, stay late, and you're going to be head and shoulders above everybody else. People don't show up for work. I was talking to one guy, said that the person punched in and then sat for 2 hours on the toilet. Talk about riding the clock. People don't work anymore. You don't need to spend everything you get. Can I hear an amen? You need to use a little bit of wisdom. You need to be saving. Learning to live on less than you make. Now, it don't mean you're going to stay there because you're going to end up, God's going to prosper and you're going to make more. But you need to be wise. Amen? A good little ratio that someone told me years ago and I crunched the numbers, it works. Let me say this. Learn to live on 80% of your income. Give 10% to God. Put 10% back for yourself. And especially if you're young, you'll retire a millionaire if you do that. Look at the numbers. I'll show you the numbers. It'll work. You say, well, what about 80%? Let me tell you something. You will learn to figure out how to live on 80%. You'll learn to do it. I honor God by giving a tithe, 10% of my money, and then some goes up to the Lord. I give it to Him. And 10% of everything else I get goes into funds that are making money for me all the time, giving into that. Every single thing I get, 10% goes into that. And then I learn to live on 80%. And you learn to do that, you're going to prosper. Can I hear an amen? Now, those are some free financial advice. You can take that for what it's worth. But what I'm talking about is learning to be able to tap into divine prosperity. Because I'm telling you right now that if you don't have the blessing of God on your life, it doesn't matter what you do, you're always going to be limited to what you can do. Can I hear an amen? But when you are under the blessing of God, whatever your normal capacity to make money, God's going to begin to take that and take it higher. But how is that part activated? It's activated through giving. I want you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Malachi chapter 3, verses 8 through 12. God's going to be talking. He said, will a man rob God? What a question. Will a man rob God? How in the world can you rob him? He says, you're robbing me. But you ask, how have we robbed you? Listen to what God said. In tithes and in offerings. Now, for us to rob God by not giving tithes and offerings means that God thinks about tithes and offerings as if they're His already. That if I use the tithe, I'm stealing from God. That's God's perspective here in this verse. That's how He treated the tithe. And then He says this, verse 9, you are cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me, the whole nation of you. Now, the curse is the opposite of the blessing. Now, because they weren't paying their tithes and giving their offerings unto God, they were not only were they not tapping into the blessing, but they were enacting a curse upon their life. That meant that there was a limitation to what they could do. No matter how hard they tried, no matter what they tried to do, they were not able to rise up and do what God's called them to do. You know what's very interesting about looking at millionaires and billionaires and their finances and their tax returns? Do you know what often is they're givers? They give to all kinds of things, tens of millions, sometimes billions of dollars. Oh, they're not necessarily giving it to the Lord, but they're enacting a principle that they understand that they need to give, and as they give, things are going to happen to them. And that's exactly what happens. So here we said, God says, you're cursed with a curse, the whole nation of you. Verse 10, here's the answer. Here's the answer to coming out of the curse. He says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, so that there may be food in my house, and test me now in this, says the Lord. If I will not open up for you the windows of heaven and pour out on you a blessing. Somebody say a blessing. How was the blessing going to get released to them? How are they going to get the blessing of God on their life? What does it say? Bring in the tithe. Someone said, are you telling me, I've kind of said this before earlier in the service, but I'll say it again. Someone said, you mean to tell me you actually believe, you think it's right biblically to think that if you give, there's a blessing going to come on you? Yes. Absolutely, I believe that. Because that's what it says here. This is God speaking. Amen? And God says, because they tithe, God said, I will pour out for you a blessing until it what? Overflows. Somebody say overflow. And then I will rebuke the devourer for you, so that it will not destroy the fruits of the ground, nor your vine of the field cast its grapes, says the Lord of hosts. And all nations will call you blessed, and you shall be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. Now, is this in your Bible or is it not? So then what does this tell me? In order for me to walk in the blessing of God, I activate it through my giving. I start giving and sowing. Can I hear an amen? We see that Abraham tithed in Genesis 14. You can stand to your feet all over the house today if you don't mind. Everybody stand. Genesis 14, verse 18, it says, and Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. Now he was a priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him. Said, blessed Abraham of God, Most High, possessor of the heaven and the earth. And the most blessed be God, Most High, who delivered your enemies into your hands. And he, Abraham, gave him, Melchizedek, a tenth of all. What did Abraham do? How did he walk under the blessing? He gave a tenth. He began to give. He began to sow. And that kept the blessing coming on his life. Can I hear an amen? We talk about Jacob prospering. Say, how did Jacob prosper? How did he prosper? Well, in chapter 28, Jacob made a vow to God. He made a vow and said, I will give a tenth to you. Verse 22, Genesis 28, 22. I will surely give a tenth to you. That's the tithe. I'll give that to you. In chapter 31, when the angel comes up to him and he says, I want you to look at all this stuff. He said, you got all this stuff because of the vow that you made. What vow did Jacob make? The only vow we have recorded that he made is he vowed to God to say, God, I'll give you a tenth. And because he gave God and honored God with his giving, God said, I blessed you. All this that you've got is because you honored that vow. Can I hear an amen? What am I supposed to do with that? What am I supposed to do with Proverbs chapter 3, verses 9 through 10? That says, honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce. That's giving. That's sowing. When they say first fruits, anytime you see with the first of all your produce, that sort of thing, that's where they were an agricultural community. They would take the first of the harvest and they would give it to the Lord. And that was a step of faith. You know why it was a step of faith? Because now, what if the cankerworm came in? What if the locust came in? What if drought came in? What if the blight came in and destroyed the rest of it? They wouldn't have anything. You keep the first for yourself. No, they said, God, I'm going to trust you with all of it. So the first of everything they got, they said, God, I'm giving it to you, trusting that God was going to cause the rest of it to continue to produce. Amen. So here you got verse 9, they're giving. Look at verse 10. So your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will overflow with new wine. What am I supposed to do with that verse? How am I supposed to get up here and say, oh no, don't you dare think that you can give and expect God to bless you. No serious, honest Bible student could ever look at all these scriptures, and I've barely scratched the surface of all the times God talks about this, that when you give, it opens the door for God to bless you. It opens you. It causes you to become a candidate to have God put something on you that's going to cause you, no matter where you start from, you're going to be blessed. No matter where you're at, you're going to be blessed. No matter what's coming against you, you're going to be blessed. Can I hear an amen? And that blessing is going to cause you to prosper. And you're going to rise. And even though people push you down, you're going to end up making more money than all them. Why? Because the blessing of God is upon your life. Can I hear an amen? I say this to you today because I want you blessed. I'd be the meanest pastor in the world if I knew these truths and then didn't tell you about them because I was scared. Scared of criticism, scared of what someone might accuse me of. I'm not scared of any of that. I want you blessed. And I don't know what this world's going to be. I don't know what's going to happen in 2024. I don't know if it's going to be a great year for the world or a bad year. I know what I'm reading. It looks pretty rough. But regardless of that, I'm not participating in their system anyway. I'm in another system. It doesn't matter who becomes president in 2024. I'm still going to prosper. Can I hear an amen? Now, I have my guy. Maybe you have yours. But can I tell you, my hope is not who's in the White House. My hope is in who's sitting on the throne. Can I hear an amen? Give the Lord a great big hand of praise for that. So I'm not being political. Don't get out. Well, he's being political. I'm not being political at all. I don't know who's really to blame for all this stuff. But it matters not because I'm in a different economy. Why don't you just lift your hands up and just begin to worship the Lord. Father, I thank you for the blessing of God. And I thank you today that as we give and as we sow and set our hearts to become a person that does that, that we're going to be able to thrive regardless of where we started, regardless of where we're at, regardless of what's against us. That blessing's stronger in Jesus' name. And I thank you it's on your people today. And this is going to be a great year for them. A year of prosperity, a year of blessing. In the name of the Lord. And everybody said,
become a kingdom building partner today online at johncarmichael.net. With your prayer and financial gift each month, we are seeing miracles, restorations in families and salvations, and you can be a part of that. Consider becoming a kingdom building partner today online. Kingdom Now is the media outreach of John Carmichael Ministries USA. All gifts to the ministry are tax deductible where applicable, minus the fair market value of any gifts received. For more information, visit www.johncarmichael.net.